The following is a production of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information about the seminary, how you can support it, or applying to become a student, please visit www.gpts.edu. Hello and welcome to another edition of Confessing Our Hope, the podcast of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. My name is Zach Groff. I'm the Director of Advancement and Admissions here. I'm also your host, and I have the privilege of welcoming into the studio today the Reverend Peter Szabo of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Central and Eastern Europe. He is the pastor of the Congregation of the RPCEE in Budapest, Hungary. Thank you so much for joining me, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you, Zach.
Peter is in town visiting at Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church and a number of other churches. He also gave a presentation here at the seminary over lunch and preached in our first spring missions chapel. And I have really thoroughly enjoyed getting to know him and getting to know about the RPCCEE, as well as being able to sit under his preaching. He's an able expositor of the word, and the whole seminary community is nothing short of excited about what the Lord is doing in Eastern Europe. Peter, before we get really started, tell us about, you know, yourself and your family and, you know, how long you've been a minister with the RPCCEE.
Thank you for your kind welcome. I am delighted to be here with you and share my story and our church story as well. So I have been a pastor for the past 8 years. I have been married to my wonderful wife, Erika, for 9 years, and now we have 3 children. Our oldest is András, which is the Hungarian equivalent of Andrew. He's 5 years old. We have an Esther and a Hannah. Both of them are girls, 3 and 1. So that's our small family who I'm sure miss me, but I miss them as well very much. But I am really delighted to be here with you, Zach, and among other Christians here in the States.
Thank you, Peter. We're glad to have you here. Now, give us a brief history of the RPCCEE in, you know, in a few minutes, and then I'll probably ask some follow-up questions based, you know, on what you tell our listeners about the denomination.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for the question. So it seems that the name of our church is big, RPCCE. It's quite impressive, at least it sounds that way. But in fact, we are just a small church, a small denomination. Our church consists of roughly 20 congregations and preaching points and 16 pastors. But we are very glad for this work of the Lord, and that he was very gracious to us in the past 20, 25 churches. Because yes, our denomination is 20 years old. This year, 2018, will be our 20th anniversary as for from the foundation of our church. So our church has a kind of a unique start, because our denomination was started, or the core of our denomination was started, as a seminary. So as just I told in my presentation here at the Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, that I know that big things can happen in seminaries, and to this our denomination is a living example. So I need to tell you about some of the historical background of our countries, of Hungary and the Central European countries. In Hungary, we had a special privilege of welcoming the Reformed faith and Reformation quite early in the 16th century, but sadly the Reformation was not really thorough. It was a top-down Reformation led by the princes and the preachers, so it meant that really we have no Bible-centered, Christ-centered, Reformed churches in Hungary. Most of our churches, or what we have in Hungary, the kind of state church, the Hungarian Reformed Church, is was taken over by liberalism in the 19th and 20th century. So, and after that, as you know, we had a communist era of roughly 45 years. So after the regime fell in 1989, we had a PCA missionary coming over to Hungary. We did not know about that, but Christians here in the States and but also in other parts of the world prayed very fervently about the fall and about the work of the Lord in these countries. So their prayer got heard and listened to their prayers. And so we had this PCA missionary coming over, and he started a seminary in 1992. But after that, it was a pure, solid, reformed seminary. But it became very evident early on that we have conflicts with the existing Hungarian Reformed Church because of the ordination of women or the inerrancy of scripture or the ecumenical movement, because the Hungarian Reformed Church was part of the World Economic Movement, so and ordained women and did not had a high view of scripture. So it led to 1997, when there was a council of the bishops of the Hungarian Reformed Church, who decided that our church should be expelled from the church. Yes, and so the students who were studying at the seminary faced a dilemma: two choices. Either they remain in the church and study at one of the ordinary, regular liberal seminaries, or they will be kicked out of the church. And it's got grace and providence that they, most of them, chose the second one. So there we have been in there we are in 1997, when we have around 10, 15 young seminary students in their early 20s, and what shall they do? And this missionary, Dr. Robert Trapp, was faithful and was very thoughtful to did not abandon the work there, but started a new denomination, and it is called the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Central and Eastern Europe. So properly, the start or the foundation of our denomination is 1998. So now we will have it our 20th anniversary. So that's in short how we started back in the 90s.
The size of the denomination today is, what, about 16 churches, right?
Yeah, 16 churches and a couple of other preaching points, but I would say 16 churches and roughly 5 or 6 preaching points, which means that preaching points are those places where we have just a few members or even no members at all, but where we have either regular worship service or Bible studies weekly or biweekly.
And the hope is that those preaching points, or what we would call in the States preaching stations, would develop into church plants and then particular congregations.
Yeah, that's our hope. Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. You have what seems to be really a great deal of fruit, not only being born by Dr. Rapp's early efforts and what the Lord has done through him and through you all, but also some good prospects for future growth.
Yes, we hope so. So one aspect of our growth, that many of our members are young, either young men and women or young families, young couples with small children. But the Lord blessed us with drawing many people to our churches. And, Europe is a very hard soil. So when we think about missions, mostly we think to missions to third world countries, to Africa or Asia or other parts of the world. But we hardly realize that Europe is as much a mission field as these countries are, because in Europe, we have a kind of a historical Christianity, but it's true that this is just a superficial Christianity in most of the places in Europe or in continental Europe. And so we have a kind of a face for Christianity, but no essence in there. And this has a very sad effect on the people, because people tend to think of Christianity as a hypocritical religion, and so they do not have, people in general have do not have so much interest in the things of God. So I think it's really the God's work, and he blessed us with growth, and that we could persevere in the past 20 years. It's really for his glory, and it testifies his love toward his people.
Now, Peter, as being the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Central and Eastern Europe, what would you say forms the really the backbone or the foundation of the life of the church in this context, a very hard soil burned over European superficial Christianity?
First, I would say that it's our faithfulness to the historical confessions, the Westminster Standards, but also the Three Forms of Unity, which is very popular in Europe. But you see, when I just I speak about faithfulness to the confessions, a lot of traditional churches have confessions, and they say that yes, they are our confessions, we are faithful to them. But I think it's one thing to say that yes, we have these confessions, and another thing to say that we try to live according these confessions. So second aspect of our of the essence or the backbone of our denomination would be that we try to live both in private life or in family life or in church life according these standards. So we are an ordinary means of grace church who preach the gospel, teach the gospel, and try to live the gospel according to what is taught in the Westminster Standards.
How deeply encouraging is that? Is that there's no special trick or anything like that, but just holding fast to the confession of our hope. Yes. Without failing, and holding to those ordinary and outward means which God has instituted in his church for the advancement of his kingdom, especially those ordinances of preaching, sacraments, and prayer. And so it's a blessing to hear that. That's what we're taught here at Greenville Seminary, and that's what Dr. Rapp so faithfully taught there in Eastern Europe during his time building the seminary there, which has blossomed forth into what by all measures is a vibrant, though small, church.
Yes, yes. And, you know, one remark that it's interesting to see, I'm not an expert on this field, but when new seminaries started, I think those who blossomed and prevailed were which had a very solid doctrinal foundation. And here is just as at the Greenville Seminary, or it is true that one of the greatest heritage we got from Dr. Rapp is really the solid Reformed teaching. Nothing added, nothing artificial, just pure Reformed teaching.
No fog machines.
No. We don't have that.
All right, Peter, now, as we all know, once denominations get to a certain size, they run into certain issues, one form or another. And one of the segments I do here on the podcast most summers is called our denominational debrief, where I sit down with members of different denominations after their synods or their general assemblies, and we go over what happened. So what kinds of issues are you all wrestling with in the RPCCEE at the denominational level? And what kinds of challenges are your churches facing?
Yes. So we face a number of challenges. Challenge is, of course, how the world around us affects us. So as far as secularism is is, you know, very deep in the society. So it's really hard to get or teach a Christian worldview and to show that Reform teaching is so much more than about the 5 points of Calvinism. This is really a kind of a backbone, but we need a Reform worldview for the whole life, from family life to till evangelism, or how to really ordain elders or deacons in the church, or how do we think in terms of relationship with other churches. So one thing I think is to develop relationship, fraternal relationships with other conservative, reformed, Presbyterian denominations. So that's one issue, which I think we started to make a good progress. But you think that's, I think, very important. So if we are Presbyterians, then we cannot be just on ourselves. We need to have ties to others, Reformed churches as well. Another thing would be, as just I said, how we can react faithfully to secularism, to charismatic teaching, which is quite, you know, well spread in Hungary as well. How we can react to kind of libertine Christianity, so that kind of Christianity which says that, oh, we do not need to take the Bible so seriously, we can live the life we want, a life really not so different from the world's. That would be another thing. So all these challenges together, so how we can remain a faithful Reformed church amidst of these teachings and challenges. And the third thing would be really that I sense this is the situation here, that we have people in our churches who are single, who want to remain faithful to the Lord, but just cannot find spouses because of these wide variety of Christians and because of the very shallow or very, very few Reformed churches in our country. So that would be another thing I would like to pray about or for, that our people can honor God if it's His will in Christian marriages.
Your denomination's a young denomination, and as a result, most of your members are pretty young too, right?
Yes. Some of our a great number of our people are young. Yep.
And so that introduces a particular challenge in the life of the church as well, especially when you're seeking out leadership and ordained leadership among your sessions and your diaconates. Can you open up that issue for us and you know, I guess the prayer request that the RPCCEE has in terms of its lay leadership?
Thank you for bringing this up, Zach. So yes, another challenge we face is really how we can ordain elders and deacons in our churches. And again, we see the Lord's faithfulness in this, because we were able to ordain some, and we are in the process of ordaining some more. So we hope that by the end of the year, more than half of our churches will have ordained elders, hopefully. We pray for it, and we try to do our part for it. But this is really what we see, that maturity doesn't come very quickly. So we need to be patient. We need to be in prayer for the things. We need to faithfully teach our men and our churches. And we hope that the Lord will give us people, men, who will be really fit to this task.
Thank you, Peter. Moving down from the big denominational picture and some of these you know, social and cultural problems that you all are running up against, and praying that the Lord would provide relief for. What does a day in the life of Reverend Peter Szabo of Budapest, Hungary look like?
I used to say that my ministry has three plus one pillars. So one important pillar is teaching and preaching. So we have a morning service on the Lord's Day. So at the moment we do not have an evening service. We do have a morning service. So I prepare for the morning service. So we preach. I preach, and all my other fellow pastors preach in the Lectio Continua method. So we usually take one book or an epistle or a gospel and preach from the beginning till the end. And we have midweek Bible studies, which are led by the pastors. And so we try to teach about other things, maybe topical issues or topical things, so what the church needs. Another pillar of my ministry is counseling, so shepherding. So we are shepherds, we are teachers and shepherds, and we need to be faithful to our calling. And so, a substantial amount of my time would be to meet with people, to either to invite them to my home or to visit them at their home, and doing pastoral visits, and if needs are so, then follow-up visits, or when we have situations, then we even set up a regular counseling meeting with them. So that's for the Christians in the church. A third pillar of my ministry would be the evangelism and discipleship. So because we are a small church, small denominations, I have we have this practice of trying to meet privately with everyone who comes to our church. So if he or she is open to that, then we try to go. We have a membership course, membership class, and we try to go one-on-one or two-on-one, also my wife present or other people present, and try to go systematically through the teachings of the Bible. Of course, if he is not at that point yet, I would take other topics such as the deity of Christ or the reliability of Scripture, so what the people need. So that would be a third pillar. And the fourth, somewhat hidden pillar, is administration and all the administrative stuff a pastor needs to deal with. So we have no secretary, or the pastor shall do this work as well. And lately, I also added a fifth pillar, which is kind of how I can manage my relations. Our church relations. So I'm in correspondence with other churches or pastors outside of Hungary, Romania, and Ukraine.
And I can see that right now, because you're here outside of Hungary, Romania, and Ukraine in the United States, managing some relationships with other pastors and particularly PCA churches in the area here. And tell us a little bit about your trip here stateside. What are you doing while you're here? How long are you here? I know you're at Woodruff Road, but beyond that, what other things does Pastor Robbins have you doing?
My trip is really, again, a living example of the providence and goodness and graciousness of God. First, the idea of the trip came from Pastor Robbins, who invited to come over and speak about my church and the ministry we do here. We have a close contact with Pastor Robbins, at least for the last 10 years or so. He visited us twice in Hungary. He preached at one of our conferences. So we are very glad for that relationship. But as time progressed and the date of my trip came closer and closer, another point, opportunities were added to my trip. So I had the privilege to visit and preach at the Midway Presbyterian Church near Atlanta, in Powder Springs, Georgia. I also have this amazing opportunity to be invited to the Ligonie conference to Orlando, Florida, and I will have the coming Greenville Seminaries conference ahead of us, for which I am extremely grateful. So, yeah, that's just a sketch of my trip.
Peter's trip is carrying him across pretty much the entire Southeast. I mean, he's going to be going all over the place. And he's already put some serious miles on himself while he's here. So he's proven to be very productive and industrious, at least during his time here stateside. And he was a blessing, like I said, to the seminary last week when he preached in our mission chapel and gave a presentation about the RPCCEE over lunch. During that lunch presentation, you told us about some of the, I guess, extracurricular efforts of the denomination. So beyond the ordinary means of grace, local church ministry, your church does a few other things within the Hungarian-speaking community. Can you tell us a little bit about the book publishing efforts and also about the summer camp efforts?
Yes, yes. So really, our church, this is also part of our heritage. It's not what we invented or what was our idea, but what we thought and learned from devout Christians such as Dr. Rapp or other Christians, just to pick a familiar name, even Dr. J. Adams came over and lectured us, I think back in the 90s. So we are so grateful for this heritage. And from these trips and experiences started to develop our ministries. And one, just as you said, is publication ministry. So we have a kind of reformed heritage in Hungary, as I told you about. But we have very few reformed titles still. We have some very good titles, such as Calvin Institutes or some of his commentaries, but at the same time, we have no reformed titles really on practical issues, such as Christian child rearing, or how to celebrate the Lord's Day, or shepherding a child's heart from that trip. And so we started to publish books and books from really the greatest authors available. We published books from R.C. Sproul, from James Boyce, from J. Adams, or Ted Tripp, or Sinclair Ferguson. So we were able to do this work as part of our ministry. And our current title we are working at the moment is Respectable Sins from Jerry Bridges, so which is another very good title. So this would be one part of our ministry. Another part would be the camps and conferences. So from early on, we try to emphasize how important and how important outreach opportunities to have summer camps, to invite children or invite adult people and teach them about the gospel or teach them about the Reformed faith. And so we have at the moment roughly 18 camps throughout the three countries we work in Hungary, Romania, and Ukraine. And these camps draw more than 500 people to these activities. And besides the camps, we have six regional conferences during the year, which have an attendance of more than 700 people. So for these numbers, we are very, very grateful. And another thing would be, I think it's more and more relevant in our present age, is the online ministry. So we try to, we have a dedicated site which gathers the sermon from our pastors, from the 16 pastors, and puts it online. So we have more than 5,000 sermons available, which is very widely listened to and recognized. So this is, again, this was a blessing. We also have a distance education program, so to train future pastors for the ministry, or even future elders or elders who deepen their theological knowledge. So we have also distance education program.
For a small denomination, it seems like you all are doing a lot of heavy lifting. And as we like to say here at the seminary, punching outside of your weight class. So I'm thankful for you and thankful for the work that you're doing among, I guess, the Hungarian-speaking communities of Central and Eastern Europe. Now, one question that begs to be answered, Peter, is how can Presbyterians in other countries, America and elsewhere, come alongside of you and support you in this work?
What we experienced in throughout all of our church history is the power of prayer. So first, I would like to emphasize really to, if it's in your heart, and then pray for us. Pray for the Church of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Central and Eastern Europe. Pray for our 16 pastors, the pastors' families. Pray for our outreach and church planting efforts. Pray for our members to remain faithful to the Reformed faith and to live out this this great heritage. Pray for our publication ministry or our summer camp. So we have really a wide list for prayer points. So if you'd like to consider that. Another point for contact and help would be to for short-term missions. So as I just said, we have summer camps, we have English teaching camps, English teaching weeks, and you see, there are plenty of opportunities for somebody who the Lord calls you. Just come over or send people and be part of this ministry of be part of this work of the Lord. And third, of course, it's always a sensitive issue, but we have some of our churches who struggle to be self-supportive, who struggle to care for their pastors, and yeah, a financial support is also an option. But you know what bringing prayer in front of the Lord and see what you can do if you are in the position to support us.
Well, we're happy that you're here, that you're able to spend some time with us at the seminary and in our local churches, and that Pastor Robbins down at Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church is playing the part of advocate for you and even agent for you, introducing you to different friends of his and ours around the Southeast. Those of our listeners who don't know, Carl Robbins is a senior pastor at Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church and also a sitting board member at Greenville on our board, the seminary's board. And so we enjoy a really close relationship with the RPCCEE and looking forward to seeing that relationship continue to grow closer. Peter, do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners before I let you go?
What I sense here, and I really want to share with you, because I have had some expectation before my trip. What the Lord gave me here is really what I cannot believe or cannot expect before that. So your kind welcome, the encouragement I get from other Christians, the support either in prayer or in short-term missions. So it's so good to see that Woodruff Road and also other churches send their members to us for 3 weeks or even for 5 weeks. So we have really we have experienced and a great fellowship with them. So my words or my closing remark is that of a gratitude toward the Lord, but also toward you Christians here in the United States and here in these churches. And I know that the Lord used you very importantly in the life of our church. So I really want to encourage you say thanks to you that keep up the good work, supporting not just us, because it's not about us, but also where the Lord of Work began where you have mission opportunities, either in Europe or in other countries, just be faithful to your calling and do this, because you are a tremendous encouragement to the missionaries and to the simple, ordinary Christians abroad.
Amen. Thank you so much, Peter, for joining me in the studio today.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a production of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information about the seminary, please visit www.gpts.edu.